Morning, guys.
Morning.
So today, I titled today's message, "But God." And it's going to be from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And they go as, verse 1, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you once conducted yourselves in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Your Heavenly Father, God, I pray, God, that you are glorified through this message today, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you help me to speak this boldly, God. Help me, God, to be able to deliver this in a way that's pleasing, God. I pray, God, that we grow something out of this today, Lord. Lord, just be with all those who wanted to be here today but can't, Lord. I pray, God, that you watch over everyone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So in these verses, you will see a before and an after picture of the human condition before salvation and after salvation. Each of us is in one of these conditions this morning. You're either dead in sins or you're alive in Christ.
Amen.
There's no middle ground. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. If you were in Christ, he has made you alive. You were once dead in trespasses and sins, just like the rest of mankind. We were all born with a sinful nature. Psalms 51:5 says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Everyone in this world carries this curse because of the fall of man. In these first three verses of Ephesians, we see the results of the fall of man. You can find them in the scripture, but I will give you a list. Before Christ, we were all spiritually dead, walking according to this world. We was under the control of the devil, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and under the wrath of God. This was us when we were without Christ. We were living according to the world. We was doing whatever we wanted to do.
Amen.
When I say we're dead without Christ, I obviously don't mean we're physically dead. Even without Christ, your heart is beating. You're breathing air into your lungs. Your body may feel alive, but there is a deadness in your soul without Christ.
Amen.
You're not only destined for physical death, but one day also a spiritual death that lasts for eternity. Remember back to Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. God told them that they could eat from any trees in the garden. However, God told them not to eat from this one particular tree, the tree of good and evil. God told them that if they ate, they would die. They didn't fall over dead immediately once they both ate of the tree. There was another death that took place. There was a spiritual death that took place. When God created them, they was perfect and without sin. They had a very close connection to God. Scriptures say God walked with them. There was a fellowship. There was a close communion with them. But after their willful disobedience and sin, there was a deadness spiritually with their connection to God. Each of us carry this with us today. We are born with it. And because we are dead spiritually, we don't seek after God. We want to do whatever we want to do. We want to walk according to the courses of this world. Verse 3 says, we all are born like this. Even if you were a Christian, you used to be like this.
Amen. That's right.
You might not remember too good, but you was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry. If you're saved now, think how you used to live before salvation. I know in my personal life, guys, I used to do whatever my heart desired.
Yeah.
I'd done anything that my eyes could see. There was no holding me back. And many today don't see no danger in it. I know I didn't see any danger when I was in that condition. Many today, they don't see any dangers with living their lives without Christ. And many today think that being a Christian is for weak people who need help mentally. And many are so deep into sin that they know about Christ. They know about His goodness. They know they are sinners. But their love for sin is too strong for them to give up.
Yeah.
They don't want to give up their sins. Satan has the whole world blinded to the truth about the gospel. 1 John 5:19. It says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Today, you're either being controlled by God or you're being controlled by the evil one. You either have the Holy Spirit in your heart or you are being controlled by sin that is in you. You're either following God or you're following to the courses of this world. We are all responsible for our actions and disobedience to God. As chapter 2, verse 3 says, we were by nature children of wrath.
Amen.
If you are here and you don't have Christ, make no mistake about it. The wrath of God is set on you today. There is an urgency for you to come to Christ today. You don't know how much more time you have left. And there is people dying unexpectedly daily.
Yeah.
If this is your condition, come to Christ by faith today. The Bible says their lives are like a vapor that appear for a little while and then they vanish away. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life.
Right.
But the wrath of God abides on him.
Yeah.
Isn't that scary, guys?
Yeah.
Christians, make no mistake about it, this was your condition before.
Mm-hmm.
We were a slave to sin and we were under the wrath of God. And if we're honest, we didn't even know we were in this condition. And we didn't even want to be rescued from this condition. We loved our sin, and we didn't want to give it up. And we most certainly didn't want to follow this God. In verse 4 of Ephesians, we now see the human condition after salvation. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Look at those first two words in verse 4. But God. Highlight that, underline that in your Bible. We were all lost, but God is the one who came looking for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He is able to save anyone from their sins. It doesn't matter what anyone's past in here looks like. God, who is rich in mercy, has saved us if you are in Christ. And there is no one too bad that God cannot save.
Yeah.
Christian, you may think your heart has grown cold in your walk with Christ. You may have grown lukewarmness. God is merciful to restore you today.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 4:9-10 says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
Psalms 103:8-11. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. Isn't it not amazing that we've got a holy God who loves us that way?
Amen.
He sent His Son to die for our sins. Jesus, who is King of Kings, humbled Himself to come on this earth to live with man and to die for man. He took the punishment that you deserve, and He done this all out of love and for His glory. As Psalm says, He is slow to anger. We should be very thankful this morning that God is very slow to anger.
Amen.
Think about how many times God could have taken your life and called you into judgment. But he kept giving you another chance, another chance. Unbeliever, how many times you may be in here and you may not believe the gospel. God is being merciful to you today. He's giving you another chance. But don't take it for granted. The scripture says His anger will not, He will not hold His anger back forever. Even when we are unlovable people, God made us alive in Him. When the Holy Spirit came to us and we responded by faith and believed the gospel, we were made alive, no longer walking in darkness. All those who are saved have nothing to boast about in themselves.
Amen.
It is the gift of God. It's not because we're smarter or better than the next person. Salvation is a gift that we didn't deserve. Nobody in this world deserves to be saved. It truly is by grace, and we do serve a great and awesome God.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 5:6-11. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Amen.
This God, this merciful God, who has the power to wash away your sins and has given you the gift of eternal life, has the same power to help you to pursue holiness and righteous living.
Amen.
Christians, this part is for you. God deserves your obedience.
Yes.
Romans 6:11-13 says, Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Out of our love for God and what He has done for us, we should be putting sin to death in our lives. I know last week Bill mentioned that there's a quietness in the church, not much joyful singing to the Lord, and a boredom when it comes to worship. There doesn't seem to be a lot of joy and excitement to worship this great God that has saved our souls. And it's all across the world right now. Christians seem to be pursuing other things except Christ. And guys, I'm no different. I see it in my own life at times. I get caught up in the busyness and cares of this life. Being busy is a sin when you let it take away from prayer and study and word and having a close fellowship with God. We're all busy, but none of us are so busy that we can't spend a little time in prayer and study the word. If you think you are, just take a look at your screen time on your phone when it pops up. See how much time you spend on the phone, and see how much time you spend on other things you do that don't bring you no closer to God. And then say you haven't got time, and you know you've got plenty of time.
Amen.
What are we doing, guys? Why are we wasting our time that we have left on this earth when we could spend our time on eternal things that matter? Why are we so earthly minded like this is all we have? All those who are in Christ, verse 6 of Ephesians tells you, you have a new home now. You are no longer of this world. Church, do not let sin reign in you. You have power over sin, and anything in this world that tempts you to pull you away or get you distracted from Christ. We are the only ones that can say no to sin. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us who is stronger than anything that we face. You may think that you are too weak to overcome any of it, and on your own you are too weak to overcome it. God is strong. Yield fully to the Holy Spirit. Come to God humbly, repent of your sin, and tell Him, I can't do this alone. I'm weak, my heart is prone to wander, and this merciful God will come along beside you, He will pick you up, He will love you, and He will restore you.
Amen.
Galatians 5, 16, and 17. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. When you walk in the Spirit and keep your mind on Christ and heavenly things, you won't let the distractions of this world keep you from spending time with God. Our citizenship has changed. We are no longer of this world, even though we live in this world. We belong to another place now. Let's act like we got a new home.
Amen.
Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is a work from God, start to finish. It leaves no man to boast in themselves. You were saved by grace, which means you didn't deserve it. Nobody can say they're saved because God saw something good in me, and that's why He saved me. Nobody in here in this world has enough good that God would save them. The Bible says there is only one good, and that is God. He is the one we must compare our lives to. I think so often we compare our lives with with other people, and we set other people's lives as a standard of living.
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as that guy. I don't do the wicked that he does. He's evil in these things. Some people think that they deserve God's love because they aren't as bad as other people. Or another way to look at it is we think that if we do enough good, God will love us. And so many people today believe this. They are not bad people. The next time you share the gospel with someone, ask them, do they think they're a good person? 9 times out of 10, they will say, yes, I'm a good person. Or they will say, I'm better than most people. We must tell them the standard is not other people and how they live. You are just as simple as the rest of mankind.
Yeah.
If you're lost in here, do not compare yourselves to other people who you think are worse than you are as a standard.
Yeah.
If you'll make it into heaven or not. The person to look at is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the person you compare yourself to. The God-man who lived a life we can never live without sin. And no one meets his standard of holiness.
Amen.
Salvation is a gift from God, not of works. You can't work your way to heaven. Many think that if they do enough good in their lives, God will love them, allow them into heaven. People are constantly trying to work their way into heaven by doing good deeds. If they sin, they try to make up for it by doing some good deed, so that the good will outweigh the bad, as if there's some scale to balance on. The only way you will make it in heaven is by fully trusting in Christ and the fact that He died on the cross to take away your sins.
Amen.
Isaiah 64:6 says, But we were all like unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, has taken us away. Unbeliever, you can never do enough good to earn God's favor.
Amen.
You will never make it to heaven that way. Back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works can't earn our salvation, but they are evidence that we have been born again.
Amen.
God has not only prepared our justification, but our sanctification. Y'all know what that means. He not only made a way to save us through His Son, but He has also made a way for you to grow in holiness and walk in godliness. God wants us to have good works, and as an image bearer of God, we should have good works to let our light shine in a dark world. Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works.
Amen.
Church, we should be a working church.
Yeah,
we should be a church that does good works. Well, he brought up his ministry earlier. Guys, we should find something. There's something in here that all of us can do.
Yeah. Amen.
That's all I've got for today. Everybody stand up and we'll do an altar call. Everybody, let's bow our heads. To the Christians, are you living a life, a reflection of someone who has been saved? The after Christ condition I talked about? Or are you living like someone who does not know Christ, your before condition? Are you so busy that you're letting the world try to carry you away into their currents? You've been called to live a different life that reflects Christ, not that the way that reflects the world. Have you been neglecting prayer and studying God's Word? Have you been in a state where you've been going through the motions and have lost your joy in serving Christ? Do you want to live a life that is consistent with the after picture, a different life, a changed life? Don't make a promise to God and then go right back to your previous state. We've all made promises to God. We've all failed. Come to the altar and tell Him you cannot do this apart from His grace. Get weak before Him and tell Him your flesh and this world is trying to take you down. Ask Him to empower you and give you a new passion to live this life reflecting Christ, to restore the joy of your salvation, to lead you on a narrow path and away from sin, to help you not feel so busy that you don't have time to fellowship with Him. Do you need the altar today? It's open for you. To the lost person who has never been saved, or the person who may profess to be a Christian at one point in their life, but are unsure where they stand with God now, don't leave here if they are unsure about where you'll spend eternity. This altar won't save you, but you can come humbly and pray to the God who can save you. If you don't know what to say, say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sin. He's the only one who can save you from hell. No amount of good works will do it. Trust in His finished work on the cross, and He will change your life. Let the Holy Spirit work in you and surrender fully to the Spirit in everything you do. I'm not promising you a perfect or a life free, but a free life from sin, because it will be a battle every day to fight this world. But it is worth it for a God who saves. Do you, God, indulge this?